We're live.
Monday night.
It's Monday.
October 7th.
Yep.
Write it down.
Yep. Sure Running is. Ball
is live.
How was your weekend, Eric?
My weekend was fall-like. It was a beautiful fall-like weekend with leaves falling and temperatures falling. It was beautiful.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck do I do. I went hunting Saturday morning with Lauren a little bit. Didn't see anything. Then, just yard work stuff. What about you? How was yours?
Nice. I did what I like to, not what I like to do, but what ends up happening pretty much every fall is I get a terrible head cold. And
oh, yeah.
And I curl up into a ball and watch a lot of movies. So that's what I did. I'm just getting over it. I think it's all the way gone now, but it peaked Friday and kind of put a kibosh on the whole weekend. It was a bummer, but that's okay.
I mean, you don't look good.
It's just my face.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It's not the sickness. It's just your face. Dang, you're beautiful. Kidding.
I sat at home. I don't know about you, but I sat at home cheering on all of the athletes I coach and friends who were racing because it was a big, big, big race weekend.
It was. And we're going to get into that. But more importantly, what was the best movie you watched? Did you watch classics or did you watch like stuff you haven't seen?
I watched a little bit of both. I had never seen Mulholland Drive. So I watched that, and it's a David Lynch movie. I love David Lynch. Hmm. It was okay. It was okay. Good.
Fair enough. Well, never seen it. Probably.
I didn't think you would have. No. That's, I could have guessed that.
Grace, do you know what the difference is between a hippo and a Zippo?
No.
One's really heavy. And the other's a little lighter.
That's a good one.
That's all I got. I'm going to leave it at that for tonight.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. Take that with you. Tell your coworkers tomorrow, your family, your friends.
They're going to love it.
It was a big weekend of racing. I have on my little notey notebook here of important information. I have three races that we need to talk about a little bit. And
okay.
So we should probably start the show to do so. What do you think?
Let's start it.
Grace, a lot of runners ran races this weekend that probably made them feel pretty sore. Let's talk about these races on episode 84. I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. Come on, live people. Come join the party. You're in a hotel room.
Yes, I am in State College. I am traveling for work a little bit, so I'm in a hotel room.
It's a really nice looking light switch you got there.
Thank you.
Yeah, there you go. like we said, there was a couple big races this weekend.
Yeah.
Up here in the North Central PAs, we had the Black Forest Ultra, 100K. Mm-hmm. That is a no crew, minimal aid station race, starts at midnight. We're going to talk to that with our guests.
Mm-hmm.
We had Blues Cruise, which was down your way-ish, Philly area-ish.
Yep.
Happened this weekend. Results are not posted yet, but I'm lucky enough I figured out the male overall female winner.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I could think of was the Hot Twat, which our friend Erica ran, Hot Twat 100, which is a self-supported 100 miler. And if you don't know the rules, then you should remove yourself from it. Yeah, don't ask. And there's a whole lot of little stuff like that. And she completed that. So congratulations, Erica, and everybody else that completed it. I don't know if I know anybody else that did. Do you, Grace?
I don't know anybody else who did. I know Erica completed the 100. There's also a 25 mile and a 200 as well on the weekend. And the other big race of the weekend was Red Barn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I knew I missed one. Darn it.
Yeah.
Yes, Red Barn happened. That is a endurance challenge, walk, crawl, slither, or run, however far you can. And I believe it's 12 or 24 hour options, right?
6, 12, and 24. Yep.
6, 12, and 24, because it would make sense to have the 6 hour also.
Yeah.
Why not throw in the 48 and the 157,000? I don't know. But yeah. So a lot of people, the beauty of those type of races are that you can get distance PRs if you have the drive and determination to do so. It's not about your speed. It's about staying out there and keep moving.
Yeah. And I had a couple of athletes out there who did exactly that, had the drive and the determination. Julia Martin hit a distance PR 56 miles at Red Barn. Yes. And Brian Krantz, who's dealing with injury, he gutted it out and still managed 33 miles. So we're pretty excited about that. That wasn't a distance PR for him, but definitely some perseverance considering what he's dealing with right now. And then there were several other people in that race who looked like they had a good day. Tawny was there. There were some other folks at Red Barn. And Snacktown Run Fest was over the weekend. Like, there were just a ton of races this weekend.
Yeah, and so was 2 days at the fair.
It wasn't 3 days at the fair?
Maybe 3 days. I think you can choose, though, right?
It's 3 days at the fair.
Yeah, but you can do like 48 hour.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can do two.
Yeah. So that happened also. A lot of stuff going on, I guess, when we kind of sit down and think about it. And I'm sure there's other stuff out west that we need to dabble in more than we do.
Yeah, but, you know, other people have that covered. So we thought we would cover, especially the Black Forest Ultra tonight, which is a part of the what is it called? There's the Triple Crown, which is, we all know, is higher.
It's the end of the Blacklist, which is the Triple Crown plus the Black Forest Trail 100K, which is obviously right now. They this year was funky because Eastern States got canceled, so yeah, I mean, there, you know, you can just say what you want with that. I will say, and I'm going to give a shout out to one of my athletes, Anthony Arthur. He did the fat ass of Eastern States, was one of the four finishers that decided to just go do it that day and finished it. And he just completed Black Forest. So he is the only unofficial finisher of the Black Forest the Blacklist 2024, unofficially, officially.
Yeah.
So great job, Anthony. That's pretty cool. So there's that. So let's bring on our guest. Diane Grimm she finished World's End 100K this year. She was the oldest finisher at 65 years old. I hope I'm still moving when I'm 65 years old.
Let alone doing World's End.
I mean, World's End, I think everybody listening, hopefully you know how hard the cutoffs are for many people and the course itself. So it's awesome. And she also just attempted the Black Forest, which she did not complete. And it was her first DNF ever. So welcome to the show, Diane. Thank you for spending your time with us.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is like awesome. And Black Forest was epic beyond words.
Now, that was your first attempt at it?
It was. I got in like 3 years ago, had some injuries. I think I fractured my ankle like a week before it or something. Just dealt with some stuff. It just didn't work. And this year after, I got through Heiner with some post-tibia tendonitis, made it through that. I gave myself an extra hour to get World's End done, and I used an hour and a minute. So I got that done. Looking forward to Eastern States, and well, we all know what happened to that. So yeah. I'm like, the day after I pulled the plug on Black Forest, and I said, here I come.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think quite a few people, out of all the races, I would imagine most of the Eastern States, people that were upset by the cancellation probably moved over to Black Forest if they had the schedule free. And it kind of makes sense to use your training for something that's still the same type of trails, pretty local. And
oh, yeah. Totally. And especially if you went out there and you trained for Eastern States, you did a lot of the same trails, which was so beneficial. While I was out there, I'm just like, oh my God, this is where we're running down the hill and Colleen slipped to the side. And I'm like, I knew where I was, and it was huge. It was a big help.
Yeah, absolutely. So you went into this race, you finished World's End, and then you had kind of a rough patch for different reasons, right? As far as health goes and stuff.
What happened? I had some health issues and, ear infection, like 3 days before the race, upper respiratory. Yeah. So going into this race, my mentality was, I want to be the oldest finisher. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, I don't care where your goals are, or how big or how small they are, but it's good to have something that you're looking forward to. So that was where I wanted to be. I wanted to finish and be the oldest finisher there. And didn't work out that way, but it didn't matter. Going into it, not feeling well, I thought, I don't care if I get 5 miles. Well, I wanted more than five. I wanted to make it to at least the first aid station. And I did that with plenty of, buffer. But the main thing was to enjoy every step of it and get as far as I can. And, you know, every mile is a gift. And that's what it's easy to forget. When you're racing, your mindset is on the race. If you go into it with the thought of, I'm going to finish this race, which is new for me, but this year was like a comeback year from injuries. So I thought, just finish the races this year. And then next year, when I'm 66, rip it up.
I was gonna say, I've seen you race before, and you're competitive, and you're very focused, as well as your husband and your crew. That's your crew. You're pretty serious. Yeah, so it's good to hear both sides, that you can flip the switch and go to, you know, enjoying the moments and this and that. But I've seen you run, and you're focused is the best word.
Yes. I have a little bit of OCD in there. I'm not, you know, but it really helps. I saw you at the top of the first climb at World's End, I think in 50K one year. And we were talking about the Laurel Sock Trail that you did, your FTK.
Yep.
And you were trying to talk to me as I was coming through the aid station. And I'm just like, I'm racing. I'm like, I don't talk. Like, I just drop my bottles at my husband's feet. He gives me my new ones. He gives me my little packet. I'm supposed to wipe my nose before I kiss him goodbye. And that's it. And you were having a conversation, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm racing. Yeah, so I'm a little focused. And I get a little excited too, so.
Right.
But that helps. So, yeah, you said about flipping the switch. So this was new for me, to flip the switch. And I am very focused or driven, or I don't know, determined, like I'm going to get it done. I know I could crawl on trails. I have. So I know how far I could take myself into the hurt box. But to go into it with a different mindset was really new. And I got to tell you, it was kind of refreshing. I looked around. People have said, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? And I'm like, I'm racing. Like, I'm focused. I'm looking for marks. I'm looking for, you know, and for these last, Heiner and World's End, and this Black Forest was just, it was all about enjoying the moment, because I finished World's End 1 year and I had a really, probably the best race of my life. I cried for like an hour every time I walked by the result board. And somebody said to me, cherish this moment because it doesn't last forever. And it doesn't. But the moments change. And you can still cherish every moment. It's just not, might not be what you used to be, but it's something new. And that's, I think, in my opinion, if you don't take something out of a race, learning experience that you can take into the next one, you should just stay home, because there's something out there. And I don't care if you're just starting the race. I mean, World's End, I ran with the youngest kid in the race. We shared some miles and he was struggling, and I was telling him all kinds of tips and hints, and he's like, where did you learn these? I'm like, it just takes time, and just keep your ears open, because the stuff that you hear, whether it's in passing or at the aid station, it's going to help you in your next race. And that's, it's a learning experience. And besides that, it's like epic fun.
Yeah. I love that you talk about cherishing the here and now, and not worrying about where you were before. Cause I think I know I struggle with it, comparing myself to what I used to be and what I feel like I could be, but my life has changed too. So, training has changed and things like that. So it is important to be happy with where you're at, I guess.
Yeah. Cause you don't, like somebody said, are you going to try this next year? Well, of course, right now, yes, I'm going to sign up for it. But will I till next year? No, because there's too much in life, that I've learned over some struggles, that you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Yeah. You don't know what the next minute's going to bring. So you can do all the planning that you want, and it's going to change in a blink of an eye, and you have to be ready for that. And I think that's what's so special about ultra running, because that's like your little life in that race. Anything could happen. Anything could happen around you. You could trip, you could fall, you could break a nail. but you have to be ready. And you have to adapt. So that's like the main thing. We did did you hear of Sheaston States?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was just like the best thing ever. It just changed everything for me as far as what other people. It's like a group. It's a tribe, and that's actually what we're like. Which I always thought, you're out there and you're by yourself, but there's like a whole tribe. I mean, it's a community out there, and they're all out there to help you. To reach your goal, whatever it is, even if it's just to get to the next aid station. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
it's a team sport.
It is like a team sport, in a weird sense. Yeah. But as far as like, you can't be what you used to be. And the faster that you, in my opinion, the faster you accept that, the happier you're going to be, because you just waste so much time and energy trying to be, 5 pounds lighter or 2 minutes faster, or, I want a podium or I want this. It takes away all the joy. So I think I found my joy out there. I was definitely happy.
I am loving this show so far, Grace.
It's such a great one. And we still have so much to talk about because, Diane, I want to rewind a little bit. I want to back up that truck. Ready?
Beep, Eric? Beep, beep, beep.
So I want to back up that truck a little bit because I want you to talk about how you got into running, into ultra running, because it didn't happen that long ago, right?
No, it didn't. It was
65. She's 65. Let's not forget that.
Yes.
So I was a bike racer.
What kind of bike?
I was a road bike racer.
Okay.
And then I did cyclocross.
Okay. And when did you start that?
Maybe when I was like, I think I got my first license when I was like 35, maybe.
Okay.
Wait, what's a license? I'm a dummy when it comes to bike. What do you mean, you guys?
So when you're a bike racer, you start off as categories.
Okay.
So you start off as a 5 and you have to do so many races in so much time, over a year. They have to be qualifiers. They have to have so many people. You have to score so many points, so many good finishes, and then they move you up.
Okay.
So
it's very similar to ultra running where we start off with, you have to be able to eat so many, gels, and then you advance to pierogies and then grilled cheese and then hamburgers.
So, I know. And it's in that order. Cause I just moved up to the pierogi level.
Good job.
I know. Right.
Yeah. So you've done endurance type stuff. Starting in your 30s, which some people would argue like that's kind of later. You're still young at 35, but you know it's later. You know, you're not in your 20s starting it.
No, and actually, I ran cross country in high school, which it wasn't a one room, so that was a bonus. And but we didn't have a girls cross country team.
Of course not.
So yeah. I had a run with the guys, and I learned in the very first race that you don't pass a guy in the woods.
Oh.
Because they'd put you into a tree.
Oh, gosh.
So I learned early on that you had to sit on them and keep your distance so they couldn't get rid of you. So you sat on them until you came into the view of the public.
Wow.
And then you passed. So,
my daughter will love hearing this story because it's just cool.
Yes. And you know, like the singlets, I had to wear a t-shirt underneath them. And it was like the whole, to run a guys team was quite the, you know, and I had my very first cross country race with girls. It was so exciting. And my coach forgot when it started, and I'm warming up, and cross country is really cold, and the race started, and I was on the opposite end of the soccer field.
Oh no.
Yes. And the girls left, and I cut right through the middle of the soccer field, and the guys on my team went all around the course and told me how many girls I had to pick off. It was awesome. That was the first time I raced against girls. It was very exciting.
Oh my gosh.
Moving that truck forward. I started, I was in cyclocross, which is kind of like running with your bike, jumping over barriers, all kinds of terrain. And then my husband said, who used to be a runner and like state cross country runner. And he always did trail running while I was cyclocross. And he's like, let's do a race. He gave me 2 weeks. Oh, I haven't run since high school.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that was my first race. I was 50 years old.
Yeah. 50 years old, you did your first trail race. And what distance?
It was 6.66 miles. It was called the Chili Cheeks.
Oh, nice. That's a good choice.
Yeah, and it was awesome. It was like you ran down this trail and you had a bushwhack up this hill. Like bushwhack, like through the trees on your own. And my husband said to me, where are you going? And I'm like, I'm going to the front. And he's like, you have 2 weeks of training. I ran a week in the gym and then a week outside and I thought I was going to die. And I said, why do I want to start in the back? And he goes, well, you want to just finish. I'm like, well, all these people are already ahead of me. How can I do well? So I moved to the front and I hit that bushwhack section and he never saw me again. It was awesome. And I got my age group win and I was hooked. That was it. That was it. It was the best thing. I felt like I was 10 years old running through the woods like I was a kid again.
Yeah. I'm never losing that
because that's how I felt at Black Forest. Mm-hmm.
That's a Pagoda Pacers race, isn't it?
It was a Pretzel City Sports race.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. So that's what got me started. My husband got me started and I owe it all to him. Yeah. Yeah. He's my crew. He's the only one I need. Yep.
That's great. So you started at 50 years old, which is so great to hear that you are still going strong 15 years later. And so you went through the whole menopause thing. You made it to the other side and you're still doing ultras, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
We're built for ultras. The older we get, you might lose your fast twitch muscles. I don't think I ever had those. I'm in for the long one. But think about it. Who has the babies?
Mm-hmm.
We do. We went through labor. We are born to be ultra runners. Yes. We just have endurance. And we know how to push through pain. Sorry, Eric. But, you know, chicks rule. So...
So it might be adjusting to a different pace, but I know some other women out there who are going through the change right now. They're going or getting ready to go through menopause, or they're going through it right now, and they're wondering, is there gonna still be ultras for them in their future? And I think you are a testament to you're not even close to being done, I think.
Oh, no, I'm not done. No, I'm not done. Not for a long shot. I'm just getting started. Yeah. Think about it. Ultras in the wintertime, going through menopause. What are you kidding? We got built-in heaters, hot flashes in December. How better does that get? I mean, think about it. I mean, everybody's bundling up and you're shedding clothes. You're pushing your arm warmers up. You're taking your gloves off. And the guys around you are going like, oh, she's going to kill it. And it's like, yeah, we're just getting started. Yeah. Yeah. I think the older you get, the longer you can go. You might not be as fast, but you're going to go forever. Yeah. As long as, you know, your body holds up. And my body didn't hold up in Black Forest, but I went as far as I possibly could go. And with that, I take great pride. So, it was my first DNF, but I got to tell you, it takes a lot to do that. And I think being older, I understood that you have to make choices like that. And when you're younger, you're just going to push through and hurt something. And the only thing about being older, it takes you a little longer to recover.
Mm-hmm.
But at Eastern States, they had a clinic on menopausal, you know, going into menopause. How do you change your diet? How do you change your, because you don't sleep. How do you get your rest? How do you get your training in? How do you make it all fit? And you just do. Some of it is you have to let go of that person you were before, because your body's not the same. And you could probably ask your husband if your body's the same. And it's not, because you become a different person to a point. And then you reclaim that person and you come up better, you know, you're better for it. You just got to get through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But the heat flashes are the best, though. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I'll have to sign up for a lot of winter races when I hit mine.
Oh, yeah. It's perfect. It's perfect. Yep. Yeah. I love taking, like, when I was racing bike, we'd be going up a hill and the zipper's coming down, the gloves are going off, and it's just, and then I'd start crying and somebody would say, your wife is crying again. Ah, she's fine. She's having a heat flash. So, you know, when you're out there on trail and you have a moment, just let it go.
That's awesome. And so do you still cycle?
I don't have enough time in my week. I do landscaping on the side. So I unfortunately don't have time for weight training, which would be a huge benefit in, you know, being menopausal. But I run chainsaws and log splitters. So I kind of, you know, incorporate all of that into my workout. So that's training.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So next year, are you? You said you're not going to sign up for anything right now, but is the blacklist on your list again?
It might be. It's been my goal. I just wanted the blacklist. I think the just going through all of those races. First of all, you can't get better race directors and better organization. As far as volunteers for those aid stations, I mean, if you've never done either Heiner or World's End or Eastern States, which I haven't done yet, but they're amazing. They're just absolutely amazing. And kudos to the volunteers, because at Black Forest, I was so tangled in my light cords that I looked like a spider net. And this lady was just like all over me trying to help and figure out what cord went where. And it's like, it's amazing. So yeah, the blacklist is, yeah, it has a soft spot in my heart for sure.
Mm-hmm. What else is on your schedule?
I don't know. I wanted to try some new things. And get out there and experience out of the box, you know, out of the area. So I'd like to do some traveling. As far as I did, like down in North Carolina, they had a race called the Looking Glass down in Pishaw Forest or something. And it's so cool to go in other areas, meet other people. And yeah, so like I wanted to do, since I started late, all those classics, like, what is it, Massanutten?
Yeah.
All of the, like, Virgil Crest, Laurel Highlands. I read so many posts about people's experience at, like, Laurel Highlands, and I want that experience. And I think through those reviews or why people go to these races. Because I get too excited, and I start reading them, and it's just like, I want that. Like, I wanted Black Forest. I wanted everything about it. I wanted the evilness of the dark. I wanted that tunnel vision of my light, the slippery rocks, the food bag. Somebody was camping and their food bag was hanging from a tree right over the, first I thought it was an owl, and it was a food bag, the campers. And I'm like, I wanted every experience. And I got it, except for a finish. But yeah, so yeah, I want, yeah, I think it's all about the experience, and it's the memory. So yeah,
there's so many fun races. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and the I guess it's Laurel Highlands. Who has the ponies?
Grayson Highlands.
Oh, Grayson Highlands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to see the ponies. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. It's all about animals. There's this huge, gigantic dead squirrel right in the middle of the trail of Black Forest. He was gigantic. And I got around him. And then at the finish line, I said, "Did you guys see the squirrel?" And everybody saw the squirrel. It was awesome. Yeah. And that's something you're going to remember. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh gosh, there's so many fun races to do. I can't keep them.
And unfortunately, running, I found out, is not like bike racing. Bike racing, you race every weekend.
Mm.
Every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's your thing.
Yeah.
And I started doing that when I started trail running. And my husband goes, "You can't do that. That doesn't work." And I just stacked them all up, and then I got injured. But yeah. So now it's like, you know, I used to plan a month a race.
Yeah, well, that's why we don't always have to do ultras, I think, in trail racing. You know, that's the trick, is mixing in some half marathons, some 25Ks. You know, there's some shorter stuff, especially in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, there is. And like, there's like Evansburg Challenge is coming up. It's which is down in like the Philadelphia Avenue. And they have like a 15K. It's like almost like an introduction to trail running. It's not super technical. And it's where people can do like one lap or two laps. So if you feel good, you keep going. And in my opinion, I think those are the kinds of races for, you were talking about older women, you know, starting off and wanting to do that ultra distance. If you can go to a timed race or a looped race, what a great way to start increasing your distance and your confidence.
Yeah.
We did the labor pains and... Mm-hmm. There were so many people like from the Philadelphia, you know, aspect, and they came out and they would do one loop or two loops and take a break and then go out again. And people that never thought they can do like a marathon got their marathon distance. So there's that like loopy bunny and there's all kinds. I think that's a great way to see what you can do in a, I don't want to say a safe environment, but it's better to do a short distance and have an aid station and reassess and then go out again.
Yeah. And the nice thing about those courses, those looped courses or timed events, is you don't have to ask for a lot of support. Like my husband doesn't run. And frankly, like, I don't know that I want him there either. That's not, you know, I'd rather we go mountain biking together. You know, I'd rather do that kind of stuff together than for him to see me grumpy. So you can kind of support yourself through those types of races. So you don't have to rely on a family member or a friend or something like that. That's the other really nice thing, is you can kind of go into it solo and make friends while you're there, but you don't have to ask somebody to support you.
Yeah, the ultra aspect of it is time consuming as far as figuring out who you're going to get to crew you, and the time involved, and they're driving from place to place. I mean, it's a big deal. And we're in a looped event, you set up your tent and you set up your own little happy place and you're just depending on yourself. But yeah, it's, as far as, like crewing or like, this is Black Forest was a lot of firsts for me. It's the first time I ever used drop bags, ever.
Mm.
Yeah, so it was all that planning, and I got to tell you, that was really fun. It was very being OCD, it really helped. But having to put all the drop bags and all of that, it gave you great appreciation for your crew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was a game changer. Yeah, but yeah, and then as far as like the loop things, you're always coming back to your own food, which mm-hmm. people, you know, like I said, I moved up to pierogies. Eric, the race that you talked to me at Laurel Sock, that was the first pierogi I ever ate at a race. That's the first time I ate food at a race. And I was so excited that I ran down the road to jump back on the trail and realized I left my handheld and had to come back for it. Yes. And that was my very first pierogi. So yeah, that was very exciting.
It's a big step. That's a big step. You graduated.
I did. And this race here, I had some grilled cheese and some pierogies, and it was very exciting because I took the time, and it was, yeah, there was like all kinds of food, and I've never even really looked at what's at the aid stations because I would just have my husband, and that's all I needed. So yeah, it was a big step. I feel like I've even though it was a DNF, it was a learning experience. I pulled out so much stuff out of this race that's going to be in my tool bag, so to say, going into the next one. So yeah. Look out, because I'm coming.
So what is the next one for the remainder of the year? What do you have going on?
I'm healing. Fair enough. Yeah. I have not planned ahead. I've got some family things to deal with, and it's my time to be a crew person. Nice. So, yep. Support goes both ways. It's all a win-win situation. You're always there for your partner, your husband, whatever it takes. They're always there for you, so you have always turn it around. And so I'm gonna heal and be a crew support person. And next year, it's time to race.
Nice.
It is. It's time. Yeah. So at 66, it's a new age group. But I don't really think they have age groups for us anymore. It's just like old as dirt. And yeah.
Oh, I love your personality.
But it's I don't know. I think this whole trail running adventure, which it is, has totally changed me as a person, and given me more respect for, I don't know, just the moment. Because when you're out there, it's like I feel like a kid. I just feel like I'm a kid. I did bird calls. I scared the guy in front of me. I'm like, he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, doing owl calls. You know, you're in the woods.
Oh, wait, yeah. I gotta hear the bird call.
There you go, perfect.
And so I do bird calls for my husband. So if you're ever at an aid station I'm coming into an aid station, I do bird calls.
Mm-hmm. So he's ready for you. Yes.
Yes. And the best part is he calls me back in a bird call. So when I get to the aid station, I don't have to look for him. I just hone in on his call, and I'm not wasting time. If you can't run fast, run smart. So that's right.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did bird calls, and and they thought I was a whack, and it's just like, I'm having fun out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I it took me a long time to figure out the mullet, running mullet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I got it. I got it.
He's business in the front. I'm a party in the back.
Yeah. Yeah. I finally got it. And I've always been the business.
Yeah.
I've always had the head for the race. Yeah. And now to start filtering through and having a new mindset. It's like, it's really refreshing.
I was talking to somebody about this. It was a cool conversation. We were talking about, you know, part of it is business for everybody. You know, I think there's a part of the sport that you should come with good shoes and a good mindset and be prepared business-wise, you know, not going into a race in the winter without proper gear, stuff like that, you know? And then it's party for everybody. It's party in the front, party in the back, party in the middle.
We're just thankful
to be out there. And you were talking about loving every minute and being in the minute. And it's like, I just love that because that's all there is. That's all we have, right?
Oh, totally. Yep. And it's like, don't waste a minute. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you're doing, whether you're just training or if you can't, just don't waste a minute. I try never to waste a minute. There's always something to do, something to build. My husband gets very nervous when I get out the portable table saw. He just usually goes in the house because he knows there's something going to happen. So, but out on the trail, I gotta tell you, you could be so low in the bottom and somebody comes by and says, "Yo, what's up?" And all of a sudden it's game on. Your entire demeanor has changed. And I don't care if everybody says, "Oh, I'm slow, I'm this," somebody says, I'm going to be last. I'm like, no, last is home sitting on the couch. Last didn't even make an attempt to put shoes on. So no, nobody's ever last.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some of us are professionals at DNFing. So that's me.
And you can learn, like yourself, you can learn to have fun and still be competitive and have that switch to turn that's on right. and off, which is beautiful.
Yeah. The flip it on and enjoy it. And it's ready to flip back to the race. So right. Next year, I'm flipping the switch.
Oh, man. I say this to a lot of people we have on the show. I can't wait to have you on again next year.
Yeah, I hope you do. I hope I'm still doing what I'm doing because I got to tell you, to feel like a kid again, I grew up in the country and hop, skipped, and jumped, played in the creeks. And to do that at 65, you can't, that's a gift.
It's a gift.
It is. And to make you feel like to go into the woods, and this is just give you an example, to go through that one of the pine forests at Black Forest.
Yes.
And to smell the smell.
Yeah.
You just want to bottle it. You just want to, it takes me back to when I was a kid and I made pine needle camps, like little forts in the woods out of pine needles. I mean, that's what it's about.
All right. Well, I don't want to cut anybody off before we end the show. I want to talk a little bit more about Black Forest and who the finishers were.
Mm-hmm.
Because for all these races, it's so important to recognize the top finishers. You still hear me? Okay, good. Anyway, Jesse Irwin from West Virginia won Black Forest. This is hard for me, Grace. This is really hard for me. He set a course record beating my own time.
Yes, he did.
By 16 seconds. 64 miles.
Yeah.
12 plus flipping hours.
Uh-huh.
And it came down to 16 seconds.
Yeah.
Now, if that's not a reason why we use a clock for these races, I don't know what is. I'm very happy for him. It's not even an important thing for me. But it's amazing to me how 64 miles on foot can come down to 16 seconds.
Yep. And he's got the record now.
And he's got the record now. So congrats to him, Jesse Irwin. He's not a social media guy. We tried to find him to have him on tonight to talk about it, but couldn't find him. So if anybody knows him or knows his contact info, we'd love to maybe talk to him and have him on the show. So great job, Jesse. His time was 12:03 or something like that. Mine was 12:19. Wait, whatever. It doesn't matter. 16 seconds. Trevor Fye came in second. I know he was trying hard for to win that. And Mike Busada, who we've had on the show along with Trevor, came in third. For the men. Females, Emily Fisk was first place. Kara Moyer. Kara Moyer came in second. And then Molly Zern was third.
Awesome.
Yeah. Studs.
Yeah.
Let's see. We talked about Blues Cruise happened this weekend, the 50K. Michael Kern won that, and Elizabeth Doherty was the first female.
Nice. That's Michael Whalen's race, who's also a friend of the show.
Yep. And we already talked about the TWAT 100, right?
Yep, we talked about the TWAT.
So that's all I wanted to mention was the big winners of the day from the races this weekend.
Yeah. It was a big, big, big weekend. And we have another big weekend coming up. I think next weekend is Green Monster, which is one of the most underrated 50Ks in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Diane, have you done that?
I have done. That was, I've done that race. It was absolutely amazing. It was a special day for me at that race. Actually, I took the win there. It was a pretty big day for me. But that downhill, that monster's forehead,
forehead.
Yeah, it was awesome. But I gotta tell you, I don't know which was worse, the V at Black Forest or the monster's forehead. So, but Green Monster was awesome. That course was absolutely awesome.
I love that race.
Yeah. And the aid station people were so cool. There's like some big rocky area, and they like almost escort you off so you don't miss it. It was perfect.
And I know where you're talking.
There's a downhill where, because it's a multiple distance race. So the downhill comes back onto the course. And I was so worried that I was not going to have enough gas. And I kept thinking it was going to be long, and the course was perfectly marked. It was, that was perfect. Yep. Yeah, I definitely do Green Monster again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. They have the 15K option, 25K, or 50K.
Yeah.
Good. The 15K is a great introduction to trail running if you like to do stuff like that. But, yeah, that's this coming Sunday.
Yep.
What else is this weekend? Race-wise.
That's the big one that I know about.
All the Wilds is the following weekend.
Mm-hmm. Another big one. Then Tussie is the weekend after that, along with the West. What's the one in West Virginia? West Rim?
Rim to River.
Rim to River is at the end of the month. So quite a few people heading down for the 100-miler. So it's a big month. There's a lot of stuff happening this month. And if nothing else, I mean, it's beautiful. If you have a chance to get outside for a hike or a ride or just a gander, just sit and gander.
Go crew somebody.
Yeah, crew pace. Volunteer. It's a great month to get out.
All right. So Diane, let's finish this up. What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, I don't know.
That's okay. That's a perfectly acceptable answer.
I know what I'm doing this weekend. I have 15 foot of a stone wall I have to repair. So and they use cement. So I'm gonna have to use chisels and hammer.
You're cross training then.
I'm doing weight training. You know, I'm working on my pole arms. Nice. I want to be a better poler on the uphills. So, you know, running that chainsaw will definitely work my biceps. So that'll be it. Yep.
Cool. Grace, what are you doing?
I don't know yet. I haven't solidified my plans. So nice. I kind of got an open weekend.
Huh. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
You got time to come up to Green Monster.
Yeah, I might. Yeah. It's so far away.
I know.
And pumpkins, though, and hay bales.
Yeah. I've been up a few times. I did Green Monster 50K three times. I think three times. Yeah.
Oh, I just did it that one time. Yep.
Yeah. I love it. It's, but I will promote that race as much as I can, just because it's just beautiful, and I think everybody should do it at some point if they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Kaylee. Kaylee just reminded me, Haynesport 100 is this weekend.
That's right.
She's got a big run coming there. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We done? We good? We ready?
Did you say what you're doing this weekend?
Well, no one asked, so I was just going to let it go.
What are you doing this weekend?
What are you doing?
Lauren has a cross country. Both of my kids have a cross country meet, Casey and Lauren, on Saturday. It's the league meet where all the schools come together that we've been racing, and they all race one final big race. And then Green Monster, the cross country team, volunteers at the first aid station. So we'll be there cheering runners on.
Awesome.
My weekend is shot before it started.
As long as you're outside, it doesn't matter.
I mean, the weather's looking beautiful, which is great. Yeah. I'm loving this fall weather we're having.
Yeah.
So yeah, awesome. Good stuff. Oh, Diane, thank you so much for that. You are a great guest with great words, and you make me want to go do fun things and keep the mindset of keeping it fun. And I appreciate that.
Play in the woods, be a kid.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Diane.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You're awesome.
Yeah, thanks, great. Or Diane, and like I said, hopefully we can have you on at some point next year to hear about your big adventures.
Cool.
And go from there. But we anticipate you doing all four races next year, attempting all four races.
Oh, that 100. I want it. Yeah.
Did you sign up for Eastern States yet with your discount?
I did not yet. Yeah. I'm trying to be I don't know what.
Mature.
That would be a good word. That would be a new word for me.
Yeah, you got time.
Yeah, I got time. And yeah. Yep. I have goals. It's always good.
Awesome. All right. Thanks again for being on. Grace, take us out. Tell them all the things.
All the things. So comment and like our show and share our show with other people. Because if you listen to this, then you would have heard this awesome story from Diane. And we want everybody else to hear it too. So share the show with other people. And if you're able to, Friday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, come join us live, and then you can
Friday night? Are we going Friday night now?
Why did I say Friday? Monday.
Do we have a special show? I don't know about Friday.
No. Okay, that's a secret show. I don't know why I said Friday. I don't know what's happening. I messed up all my stuff because I'm not where I should be. I am not at home. All right. Monday nights, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll cut that out in the post edit that we never do. And join the conversation and share the show and like it and feed the algorithm monsters and all of those things. And we're going to be back again next weekend with more cool people.
Next weekend?
Next week.
Friday? Then it's on the weekend, and I thought we were on Monday, so it's a four-day event now. Wow. I'll see you this weekend, Grace.
Sounds good.
All right, see you Monday, Friday, Saturday, 30.
Every day. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
Send it, Grace. Bye.